Blog Talk Radio.
2 Peter 1 and 3 tells us that God has given us everything that we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him. I have everything.
Jesus Christ, called by the will of God, to all the saints and pray for him. Our brothers and sisters in Christ, so happy to have each and every one of y'all. We're going to ask Pastor Bell for a word of prayer, and then we're going to get into the lesson. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor, for that selection. And good afternoon, everyone. Amen. The scripture I'd like to share is coming from Habakkuk, the second chapter and the fourth verse. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. We want to thank you, Father God, for this day. We just want to thank you, Father God, for the listeners and our pastor. Thanking God for all those who participate. Father God, we want to give you praise today. And we just ask that you continue to be with us all and open up our hearts and our minds to receive the word, Father God. And we're praying for those that are sick and shut in, praying for those who are bereaved, praying for those who are going through, Father God. So you said in your word, you will keep thee in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And by your stripes we are healed, Father God. Father God, we just ask that you would just have your way and just allow us to just welcome that Holy Spirit in our life and that word get deep down in our hearts, Father. We thank you, Father God. Now have your way. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. In Christ Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor, for that good prayer. We are talking about the God kind of faith. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the God kind of faith. We started off this week with a sandwich, and guess we're going to end it with a sandwich. That's Evangelist Renee. She'll give a spiritual sandwich if she's
Amen.
Ready.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
The God be the glory.
Yeah.
Let's see here. On our first piece of bread, we're going to put John 3:17. God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
On that second piece of bread, we're going to put Matthew 6:14. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 6:14. Inside that sandwich, gotta put my scripture I stand on. By his stripes we are healed.
Mm-hmm.
We are more than conquerors. I will lift my eyes up unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. And the topic will be, God is good all the time. All the time. God is good.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. She slapped some mayonnaise and mustard on that one. Thank you so much, Evangelist Renee. I thank God for it. I just love the word of God. I don't care which way it comes. As long as mm-hmm. the word is the pure word of God. Everybody not getting the pure word of God. I was talking to a preacher yesterday, and we're supposed to desire the sincere milk of the word. That should be your desire, to desire the sincere milk of the word. Everything about God, if you don't ever learn anything, you finna learn something today. everything about God deals with his word, not just the printed word, not just the logo or the spoken word, but the word that's within the word, simply meaning this, thy word is truth.
Mm.
There's truth inside the word of God. Just like you may have a banana, you peel the outside, but the real stuff is on the inside. So it is with honey. You got a honeycomb, but the honey is inside the honeycomb. And that's the way the word of God is, brothers and sisters. You have to dig into it. See, so the scripture says, over in 2 Timothy 3:16, we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So the Bible calls itself the word of truth, because you got a lot of truth, but you got the truth. Christ is the truth. And with that being said, we're talking about the God kind of faith. And the God kind of faith require us to have the word of God. Jesus said to Martha, one thing you lack, and that is the word of God, brothers and sisters. And I'm going to tell you, at the end of the day, you need to have the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith, it doesn't have to see the results. It speaks it.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm.
That's what Mark 11:23-24, it talks about just speaking the word. That's all we have to do, is speak the word and believe it. Over in Luke 10:42, I'm asked Pastor Bell from Akron, Ohio, if she'll read that one. Luke 10:42. And I'm going to do a contrast here to show you the difference between the God kind of faith and regular faith, or man kind of faith, or the flesh. See, a lot of people can only believe in what they feel, see, touch, or hear, or taste. The five senses. That's the kind of faith most people operate in. Well, that's not the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith is the kind that pleases God. That simply means you speak the word of God and stand on it and wait for it to come to fruition. Okay, you want to read Luke 10:42, Pastor?
Yes, Pastor, from the King James. It says, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Amen, amen. And from the Message Bible, the Master said, Martha, dear Martha, you're fussing far too much and getting yourself worked up over nothing. One thing only is essential, and Mary has chosen it. It's the main course and won't be taken from her. Amen.
Listen, brother and sister, the only thing you can leave here with that won't be taken is the word of God in your spirit, man. All this other stuff, children, husband, wives, cars, profession, you can't take that with you. The only thing you can take with you from this earth is the word of God. That's why John 15:7 says to abide in the word, live in the word, and the word lives in you. The Greek word there means to set up residence. You know, like you plan on living somewhere. You put pictures on the wall. You do those kind of things. You know, you straighten up the bathroom, you decorate, because you're abiding there, you're living there. Well, that's the way we have to be about the word of God. We have to make that decision that we're going to live in there. And Martha was going through all these changes, and Jesus checked her and said, Martha, honey, what you really need is the word of God. That's something that Mary chose that won't be taken away from her. And I don't know who I'm speaking to right now, but you need to choose the word of God for everything. Your healing, it needs to be based on scripture.
Yes.
Your deliverance needs to be based on scripture. See, that's where your faith is. Your faith is the word of God. That becomes your substance right there. The word of God is your substance. You have to stand on that. By his stripes, I'm healed. It all high hell water freeze over. It doesn't matter. You're standing on that scripture, see?
Amen.
If God said it, he's able to bring it to pass. But we have to be taught to stand on the word of God. That's where our faith is. I was talking to a preacher yesterday, and she said, oh, yeah, well, you know, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I said, you're absolutely right. Now, what is your substance?
Good question.
And she couldn't figure that out. So I said to her, your substance is what you're depending on. Some of you, all that works, that check is your substance. What is it, your job, see? You have to kind of understand what I just said. What is your substance? What are you depending on?
Yes, yes.
For survival. Well, and I know there are people who get checks on fixed income. That's their substance. That's what they live in. That's what they got to have. That's their substance. They're depending on that. If they don't have that, their lights go off, their water go off, their insurance. See, that becomes their substance. So, with us, as believers, we must use the word of God as our substance. That's what we got to have.
And
that's what Peter was telling Martha. She laughed. Well, see, some people, they only have a lower, what I call a lower form of faith, which pretty much is no faith at all in God. They like the idea. They like the thought. But when it comes to actually having faith, they don't have any faith. Just like Thomas over there in John 20. We're going to go there. Over in John 20, 26 through 31. We'll go there. St. John. Now, this is for people who have no faith. See, your faith got to go beyond the sense realm. It got to go beyond what you can see, feel, or taste, or hear. So over in, actually John 20, and 26 through, come on, computer. What do you say? Don't fail me now. in John 20 and, 26 through 31, I'll read it out to King James, Pastor, and you can read it out of the Messenger Bible. It says, the 26th verse, if we get stay up there, it says, and after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the door being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hand, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord, my God. I think I'm going to go to, It says, and Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, see, that's with your eyes, you've seen me, thou hast believed. But blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name.
Amen. And from the Message Bible, 8 days later, his disciples were again in the room. this time Thomas was with them, Jesus came through the locked doors, stood among them, and said, "Peace to you." Then he focused his attention on Thomas. "Take your finger and examine my hand. Take your hand and stick it in my side. Don't be unbelieving. Believe." Thomas said, "My master, my God." Jesus said, "So you believe because you've seen with your own eyes? Even better blessings are in store for those who believe without seeing." Jesus provided far more God-revealing signs than are written down in this book. These are written down so you will believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and in the act of believing, have real and eternal life in the way he personally revealed it. Amen.
Okay, so Thomas, he saw Jesus get crucified. He saw it.
Mm-hmm.
He saw the nails that they had put in his hand. He saw that stuff.
Yeah,
he saw him pierced in his hand. So when Jesus, knowing that he was there, a week later, he comes in, and the Bible says he didn't knock on no door, he didn't ring no doorbell, none of that stuff. He walked right in.
Yeah.
Through the door.
Yeah.
And immediately, Jesus had to do something, because they were going to lose it. So immediately, Jesus said, "Peace. Peace. Why do you do that? Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
When something is going to blow your mind, you need to bring a calm to the situation." So Jesus said, "Peace, be clear." So everybody, you know, wouldn't get bent out of shape, wouldn't get crazy with this.
Yeah.
He said, "Peace." And when he said that, then he told Thomas specifically. He ain't called nobody else's name. Them other guys were hanging out there too, okay? Peter and them. All them guys hanging out. But Thomas was the one name he called. He said, "Thomas, reach your hand here." There was a lot of hands there. He could have used somebody else. But he specifically chose Thomas because Thomas wasn't there when he had came before. He came last week. Thomas wasn't there. I don't know what he was doing. Bible don't say what he was doing. Bible don't say where he was at. That's not important. What's important is Jesus called him out and said, "Put your finger right here, son." And he put it there. And then he said, "Okay, you remember how they stuck me in the side? Put it right here. See this side here? Put it right there." And he told him, he said, now I like this. He told him, he said, "Now, don't be faithless." What does that mean? Don't do it without knowing that the word of God. Do it with faith. In other words, you got to act on the word of God. See, anybody can read this stuff, brothers and sisters. Being faithless is not having that word. It's not standing on that word. Not acting on that word. So he says, don't be faithless, but believe it.
Amen.
See, a lot of folks, they got the word of God, but they won't act on it.
Amen.
And when you have the God kind of faith, you act on it. That's what you do. That's what Abraham did. That's what Sarah did. That's what Jesus did. That's what all the patriarchs who died in faith, having yet not seen the promise but seeing it afar off, they all died having the word of God.
Well,
I'm going to speak something to you right now. Brother, sister, stand on the word of God. Find that scripture and hold on to it. Don't be like Thomas. Don't be the kind of person, unless you see it, unless you touch it, unless you feel it. Because that's almost like slapping God in the face. You know, God and his word is the same. You know that, right? Absolutely, you know that.
Yeah.
Of course mm-hmm. you know that. How you know that? Because the Word of God says he is. You know, the Word
yeah.
of God tells you exactly who God is. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. So if
mm-hmm.
the Word was God, it still is God.
Amen.
And remember, the Word became flesh?
Mm-hmm.
In about the 12th verse, thank you all, 12th verse. Well, here's what's happening, brothers and sisters. The Word is faith, because Jesus is the author, and he is the finisher of our faith.
Yes, he is.
And that's mm-hmm. what God spoke. God spoke his Word. Remember
Amen.
In Mark 11:23, whatever you say and not doubt. Not what I say now, but what you say and not doubt. But believe what you say will come to pass. You will have whatsoever you say. Now, most folks don't believe that for the simple fact they ain't been taught that. See, the people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. The true knowledge is, go ahead on and speak it. You don't see it, but
mm-hmm.
speak it anyway. Claim it. Claim everything the Word of God says is yours. Start claiming.
Amen.
Matter of fact,
mm-hmm.
the Bible says, for those that don't know, in Romans 10:8, because if a person preaches anything other than faith, they're preaching the wrong message.
Mm-hmm.
I might need to say that again. Find Romans, if you will, find Romans 10 and 8, because I'm not just telling you stuff off the top of my head. I want you to know, but it's just to go to the Word of God. And your pastor may not like that, but tell him if he ain't preaching faith, he ain't preaching truth. So you got to preach faith. That's what the Bible says. In Romans 10 and verse 8 says this. I'm going to read that King James. It says, but what says it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. From the Message Bible, the word that saves is right here. As near as the tongue in your mouth, as close as the heart in your chest. It's the word of faith that welcomes God to go to work and set things right for us. Amen.
Now, it says, in other words, what does the Bible say? What does the word say? What does
mm-hmm.
it speak? Absolutely. But what is the message in it? It's near you. That's the message. How close
mm-hmm.
is God? Remember, I just told you that God and the Word is the same over there in John 1. How close is God to you? I'll tell you how.
Mm-hmm.
He's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message or the word of faith which we preach. That's what we preach, brothers and sisters. It's a word of faith. And if a person is not
mm-hmm.
preaching the word of faith, they're not preaching truth.
Amen.
We have to teach people. See, it's too many people want to look at people outward and preach that. Anybody can preach about sin. You don't even have to be a preacher to preach about sin.
Mm-hmm.
You can look around in your neighborhood. Matter of fact, you can look at yourself if you want to preach, you know, things that you call sin. Because somewhere down the line, you forgot that Jesus became our sin. I don't know if you know that or not, but Jesus became all of our sin. So Jesus took care of the sin problem. 1 Corinthians 5:21. He made him to be sin. So Jesus is our sin. Don't worry about the sin problem. We got to get a word. We got to get a word problem, not a sin problem.
Amen.
So he says, but what says it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. That is the word of faith which you preach. The ninth verse is that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The requirement is to believe in the word of God, and then you speak the word. For with the heart, the Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The only righteousness we have is in Christ, but it's through the word of God. Mm-hmm. We make that exchange. Like when you go to the flea market, you do an exchange. They, over in Vegas, they call it the swap meet. You know, you swap.
Right.
You give Jesus your sin, and he gives you his righteousness.
Hallelujah.
That's the only way you can be perfect, brothers and sisters. You are in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. But anyway, hey, we'll see y'all Sunday for the review. Meanwhile, y'all stay blessed. And thank you all.